Today I wanted to just talk with you, and I think that today might be a little different for me as well as for you. This last week, I've been doing a lot of praying and a lot of thinking and claiming a lot of the promises of God. As you've noticed in our church bulletin today, you've noticed that the title of what we're going to talk about is We Can Trust His Promises. God's promises are sure. Our opening scriptural text that Brother Dan brought to us is an old familiar passage that we've read so many times and even put it in our memory bank, John 14:1-3, the promise that Jesus will come again and receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we too will be with him. A real promise. This week, as I was thinking of some of the other promises that God has given to us as a people, I thought it might be nice just as a church to sort of reflect on some of those promises. If your week has been like other weeks that I've had in my past, there are times that we need sometimes to go back and just claim some promises of God. There are times when we become discouraged, depressed, frustrated, perhaps discouraged with ourselves. Perhaps we've fallen and have not lived up to the high standard that we ourselves have even set for ourselves. And that's frustrating. Does God have any encouraging words for us as Seventh-day Adventists today? I think so. Does he have some promises? You'll pardon me if I have a little phlegm down there this morning. Does he have promises for us who are not even Seventh-day Adventists? Absolutely. He has promises for individuals who are not even Christian. God's Word is a book of promises. And I would like to suggest today that God's promises are sure. They are something we can hold on to. Our first promise is in the form of a trust relationship that God wants us to have with him. This morning we have Bibles that should be in most of your hymnal racks. There are a number of them anyway. I'm going to invite at least those that have the Bible in the rack to take those this morning. And we're going to read a number of passages of promises together this morning as we share some statements from the Old Testament. Now, I've chosen not to use the New Testament except for our opening scriptural text and our closing scriptural text are the New Testament. But Old Testament is basically what we're going to be taking a look at today, because the promises of God's Word are certainly to be found in the Old Testament as well as the New. And you'll recall that the writers of the New Testament referred to the Old Testament again and again and again as their assurance of things that were to come. I'm going to invite Brother John to step to the mic down here, if he would, please. And I'm going to have him read for us from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Now, he's going to be reading from the King James Version. And you may follow along in your particular version. From there on, we're going to be quoting from the New International Version, which happens to be the version that's in the pew. But the first one that I've asked John to read this morning is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 from the King James Version. Please listen to this admonition for us this morning.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Ruth. Who is it that the wise man says we're to trust in? We're to trust in the Lord with how much of our heart? All of our heart. And lean not unto whose understanding? In how many of our ways are we to acknowledge him? And he will direct our path. Folks, I'm suggesting this morning from the wise man that perhaps that's why we fall into problems in our life, because we fail to lean on Jesus. We tend to trust in our own human judgment, our own human wisdom, and we lean on ourselves and we fall. We fail to acknowledge him until we're down and out, and then we turn to him and say, Lord, help me. Have you ever experienced that? I'm thankful that the wise man said he will direct our path. Even from the pit, may I suggest that he will direct our path? Even when we hit bottom, when we turn to Jesus, he will still put a path before our feet that we can follow. So thank God for the promise. We need to trust in him, and the promise is he will direct our path. There's another promise I'd like to share with you, and it's found in the Old Testament, and you have it there on page 537 in your Bible. 537, and the top of 538 is found in 1 Kings. For the rest of you who are not reading out of the church Bible, 1 Kings in the Old Testament, chapter 8, verses 56 through 60. I'm going to invite us as a congregation this morning to read this out of our church Bible. And if you have a church Bible there, please share it with a couple on each side of you so we can have more voices as we share this promise as well, praising our Lord. And listen for the promise in here. This is 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 56 through 60, reading from the New International Version. You all have it there. You should. Please read aloud together as a congregation a promise of God. Here we go. Praise be to the Lord, who has given rest to his people, Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. May the Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. May he never leave us nor forsake us. May he turn our hearts to him, to walk in all his ways and to keep the commandments, decrees, and regulations he gave our fathers. And may these words of mine, which I have prayed before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God day and night, that he may uphold the cause of his servant and the cause of his people, Israel, according to each day's need, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and there is no other. Again, God has given us promises, assurance that if we will pray before him, he will take those prayers day and night, and he will uphold our cause in the earth each day, even today. If there are those here this morning that may feel a little frustrated, you may feel a little weight of sin or guilt or discouragement, God says that if we will pray to him, if we will turn our hearts to him, if we will walk in his way, then he promises that he will keep us according to our prayer both day and night, so that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is no other. May I suggest that it's because of God's promises being fulfilled in our lives that becomes a living testimony to the world and those about us that God lives and loves and hears our prayers. Do you understand what I'm saying? God has given us those promises, folks, and we can hang on to them day and night, and we become God's witnesses in the world. Number three, we have another statement in the Old Testament against 2 Chronicles. Noren, would you please come and share with us 2 Chronicles, and I'd like for you to turn to that. It's found on page 684 and 685 in your Bible. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 13 through 16. Listen as Noren reads for us these passages.
If I shut up the heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive the sins, and will heal the land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears shall attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there.
To me, it's a beautiful promise that God said He will sanctify our house, and He will be present with us. My eyes and my heart will, how often be there? Always be there. Jesus' Spirit is here this morning. The great Comforter, the power of the Holy Spirit is here this morning. And God says to us, if my people, notice the intimacy, if my people, He calls us His people. The question that perhaps comes to my mind this morning, are we calling Him our God? He's chosen us, beloved. He has us engraved, if you please, on the palms of His hands. He calls you and me His people. But we are stiff-necked. We are little rebels at heart. And He says, you're still my people. And if my people will humble themselves and pray in my sanctuary, in my temple, in my house, I will hear. And what does He say He will do? He will heal our land. He's promised that. Folks, when we find the heavens shut up, when we find there is no rain, when we find the locusts devouring our land and plagues coming among us as a people, remember, it's God's method for bringing us into focus with Him. Have you felt the locusts eating away at your financial crop? Have you felt the dryness of a spiritual life that is no longer being refreshed on a daily basis? Have you felt that experience in your life? Do you find plagues one after another coming against you and your particular family? Perhaps in the home between husband and wife and children? No let up. One after the other. You felt that? Jesus said, you're still my children. Jesus' promise is that if you will turn to me in this disaster, I will heal your land. Could it be, beloved, that Jesus is allowing these things to come to you and me that we might turn our hearts toward Him? Could it be? Could it be that those I love, I rebuke and chasten? Could it be that God loves us enough to dare to discipline, only to get our attention? And once He has it, then He says, now come to me and I'll heal your broken heart. That's the precious God that gives us the precious promise of the Old Testament. Carol, come and share with us number 4, if you would. From Mount Micah in the Old Testament, chapter 7, verses 18 to 20, or page 1450 in the Old Testament. Follow along as Carol shares with us again from Micah chapter 7, verses 18 through 20. And listen again to this beautiful promise that God has given to us.
Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of His inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. You will be true to Jacob and show mercy to Abraham, as you pledged in oath to our fathers in days long ago.
Who is a God like you? God doesn't stay angry forever. I'd like to believe that God really is never angry. But He certainly demonstrates His displeasure from time to time, doesn't He? God loves His children. And God loves you. He pardons our sins. He forgives our transgressions. And He does it for the remnant of Israel. That's us, folks. When I take a look at God's great church today throughout this world, I see problems. Do you? I see problems, first of all, in the mirror at home. I see problems in the pastor, the Hampton Heights Church. I don't have to look very far before I find it also in my mate, which I dearly love. I can also look to my three sons and I see that they have inherited some things from their father. I see transgression, I see sin, I see problems, yes, not only within my actual home, but also within my church family that God has given me the honor of pastoring. Do you see problems too? Jesus said in the Old Testament that He forgives the transgressions of the remnant of His inheritance. God forgives His people. He forgives us as a church. He forgives us as families. He forgives us individually. I thank God for that. I'm glad that it says He treads our sins underfoot. When was the last time that we tread the sins of our neighbor who has trespassed against us under our feet? When was the last time we shook the dust off our feet and walked away? When was the last time we walked away from the sin that has been asked to be forgiven? I'm glad that Micah says that God walks on our sins. He treads them underfoot. He doesn't put them under His heart. He doesn't keep them in His mind. He casts them to the ground and forgets them as He walks ahead. Folks, that's what God is asking of you and me to do within the church. If God can forgive us, can we not then forgive one another? That's really what He's saying. Forgive others as I have forgiven you. Are we willing to take our foot away from the sins that we've cast to the ground? How about even within our own life? So many of us ask God to forgive us our sins and then we carry them around with us, rehearsing our bad life, our bad experiences, those hideous things that we've carried along with us. Have you noticed that? We seem to love to carry the baggage of forgiven sin. Jesus wants us to let it go. He has forgiven us. We should stand today before God with a certain amount of self-respect. Because God has set us free through Jesus Christ. And folks, if God can step upon our sins and walk past those sins, leaving them behind, can't we also let Him have them? So many of us today carry around guilt that we have asked God to forgive. May I suggest this morning that God would have us let go of those sins? He pardons them. He forgives them. He places them under His feet. He casts them into the depths of the sea. Why don't we leave them there? What do you say? Let's take a look at another statement that I'd like for you to share with me. Our fifth statement this morning, Psalm 103. I'd like to read as a congregation this morning. Psalm 103. This is found on page 939 and 940 in your Bible. Psalm 103, verses 8 through 14. Psalm 103, verses 8 through 14, page 939 and the top of page 940. Let's find out some more about God's love, His compassion, and His promises. Reading together. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, So far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. And again I say, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that he can take our sins. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for you and me. How much is that? You've all seen those little cute dolls, very expensive little dolls, out of sort of ceramic. They look like that. They have these big eyes that just sort of bore holes right through you until you reach in your pocket and buy them and take them home. Do you know what I'm saying? Those cute little characters. I remember one that I saw not long ago, and his little arms were just stuffed out as far as he could put them. And a little note underneath it that says, I love you this big. From this earth through the heavens is God's love for us. We cannot stretch it that far. And yet some of us, for some reason, we fall from time to time into this narrow view that God sort of is limited in his ability or his capacity to love people. You see, folks, God has what we all know, but so often we fail to remember. He has unlimited love, for he is unlimited himself, and he is love. That he is unconditional love, which is something we cannot understand, for we as human beings have sort of limits to our love, do we not? But God is unlimited, as the space is unlimited, so his love is unlimited for you and me. I've said so many times to hurting individuals who have talked with me over the years that no matter what you have done, God still loves you. God may not appreciate what you have done, but God loves you as a person. You can commit no sin. You can commit no act that will cause God to cease loving you. You see, folks, it's not what we do, good or bad, that makes God love us. He loves us because he created us. And he loves us because we are his. So he loves us naturally, just like a mother and father who gives birth to a little child, not even thinking that someday he might become a murderer. We don't dream of such a day. All we know is that this little bundle of love that God has given to us is ours. He has entrusted life into our hands, and we love it, be it boy or girl. God loves you even more. Not because of what you are, but because of whose you are. You're his. He loves you with an everlasting love. The Lord is compassionate. He is gracious. He abounds in love. He doesn't even treat us as our sins deserve. He doesn't repay us according to our iniquities. Of course not, because he loves us. And yet he still chastises by allowing us to have our own way, may I suggest. By allowing us to run into walls, may I suggest. By allowing us to trip and to fall into pits, may I suggest. It's not that God erects the wall for us to run into. It's that we erect our own walls. We have our own natural bent towards sinning, which unaided we cannot resist, and we stub our own toe. May I suggest God didn't place the rock there? May I suggest that we earn our own wage of sin? But it is God who stands there ready to receive us when we fall, ready to lift us up when we stub our toe again. It's God who is there because he is love. It's Satan who then whispers and says, see, that's the kind of God he is. He throws rocks in your way. Our dear friend, God does not throw rocks in the path. God sends a light to guide us in the darkness of the night. For his word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. God is the one who says, come, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Jesus is the one who constantly leads us home. He's not throwing rocks nor pebbles in our path. Jesus sowed the pure seed. When the briars sprang up, Jesus said, an enemy hath done this. Jesus is not our enemy. We, perhaps, are our greatest enemy. May I suggest that you and I need to take that enemy to Jesus, because He knows what to do with him. And He knows how to set us free from ourselves, that we might be free in Jesus Christ. God is love. Higher than the heavens above is His love for you and me. As a father has compassion for his own children, so the Lord has compassion for us. Aren't you glad that He knows that we were formed from the dust of the earth? He knows our frame. He knows we're weak. He knows that some of us have weaknesses that others may not have. But He knows it all. He knows the number of hairs on our head. You're of more value than the sparrow that falls. He said, I love you with an everlasting love. I have a hunch, brothers and sisters, that when Jesus comes, and those individuals are not taken to heaven, that Jesus desired to be there, I have a hunch that Jesus will have a longing in His heart throughout eternity for His kids who chose not to be there with Him. You and I will never understand it, because we don't have the magnitude of love and compassion that He has. But as a father's heart goes out to his wayward child, I don't believe that heaven will truly ever perhaps be heaven for Jesus, because there will always be those that I don't think Jesus will ever forget. You and I might. We're told we won't be able to remember. And I'm glad that Jesus will wipe away all the tears from our eyes. But I think there's a depth of love in God that we can never grasp. And I believe that throughout eternity, as we see those scars in His hands, that inside that great God will be a heart that still longs for those children that He bid farewell for eternity. Jesus will carry the scars throughout eternity. And perhaps, dearly beloved, He'll carry something that you and I will never have to carry. But that's like Jesus. For He carried your sins and mine to Calvary that we wouldn't have to bear it. So isn't that like Him to carry throughout eternity the memory of those that could have been but chose not to be? I pray that we won't make that choice to stay here, but rather to go where He is. Larry, come and share with us our sixth verse from Isaiah chapter 49, found on page 1139. It's Isaiah chapter 49, verses 13 to 16. I'd like for you to follow along again as Larry shares with us this beautiful passage on page 1139.
Shout for joy, O heavens! Rejoice, O earth, burst into song, O mountains. For the Lord comforts His people and will have compassion on His afflicted ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby of her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me.
From Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, I'd like for Lois to come and share what Jesus is asking us to do even today. Page 1061, number 7, our seventh text this morning, Isaiah 1 verse 18, 1061 in your Bible.
Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool.
Thank you, Lord. Another promise of God, isn't it? An old familiar passage that we have memorized over the years. Have you ever thought of your sins as being like scarlet or red like crimson? Have you ever seen your sins as really being bad? I have. Have you ever really honestly looked at yourself and compared yourself with Jesus at least once or twice in your life? Have you ever, in so looking at Jesus, as you've read perhaps the book Desire of Ages or another book on the life of Jesus, have you ever sensed the ugliness of yourself? Have you done that? Have you ever found yourself like your pastor at times with a broken heart, realizing what a rebel I really am, and finding the tears coursing down your face as you see the goodness of God in contrast with your evil, your wickedness? Have you ever done that? What a God. Not only does He melt our heart and break our heart before Him, He does not cast us away. He says, come and let's talk about it. Let's reason together. Even though your sins are so great and so bad, why would God want us to come and talk to Him about the ugliness that we have? Why? Because He says, I want to make that as white as snow. Because He said, I want to make your red sins, that guilt that you have, like wool. Jesus is saying, come, let us talk. So many times I find in my life after I've made some bad mistakes, I find it hard to come to Jesus. I am so embarrassed, I feel ashamed, I feel that I'm not worthy, which I certainly am not, but I sense that I shouldn't at times even go and stand in the pulpit. And then Jesus says to me, as He says to you so many times, come now, come, let's talk. What's so bad that I can't fix it? What's so dark that I can't give you light? What's so heavy that I can't set you free? Come now, let's talk together. What a God. He promises that whosoever cometh to Him, He will in no way cast us away. That's for all of us. Is your heart heavy this morning? Come to Jesus. Talk with Him. He'll set you free. Jane, number 8. Please come and share with us. Psalm 91, an old familiar passage again. Psalm 91, verses 14 to 16. Found on page 931 in the Old Testament, Psalm 91, verses 14 through 16.
Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue Him. I will protect Him, for He acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I will deliver Him and honor Him. With long life will I satisfy Him and show Him my salvation.
Thank you, Jane. Because you and I love the Lord, God will rescue us. God will protect us because we acknowledge His name. Have you ever prayed, Father in heaven? Perhaps you pray to Jesus. But all I'm saying is, have you ever prayed to the deity? Come now, think about it in your mind for a moment. Have you ever acknowledged Him as your Lord? Have you ever acknowledged Him as your Father? If you have, then listen to the promise that's for you that Jane has read. Because you call Him Lord, because you've acknowledged Him as Savior, He says, I will rescue you. I will protect you. He is the one that is our big brother. If you please. There were times in my life, believe it or not, when my brother protected me. There were times when he didn't, and he let me hang alone. But I'm saying that my own earthly brother, from time to time, did come in and stand by me. There were times that he said to some other young friends, "Leave him alone. He's my brother." The thing that I like about my Heavenly Father is that He always will come to my rescue when I need Him. Jesus says, because you've acknowledged His name, I promise I will rescue you. He says, just call on me and I'll answer. I'll be with you in trouble. And I will deliver you, and ultimately I will even honor you, and with long life will I satisfy you. How long? May I suggest that some of us are limited in our thinking. Jesus, I suggest this morning, was talking of a long life of eternity. That's the long life I'm suggesting that He will give to those who love Him and still call Him Father. He will deliver you. He will rescue. He will show you His righteousness forever, which is a long, long time. I want to be with my brother who will stand by my side and say, let him alone, for I have died for him and he is mine. I want to experience that righteousness forever, don't you? That's His promise. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah 54, page 1148. Page 1148, Isaiah 54, verses 16 to 17, and let's read our ninth text together as a congregation this morning. Isaiah 54, verses 16 and 17. Here's a promise for us this morning that is for each one of us who call Jesus our Savior and make Him the Lord of our life, who call upon God in our times of trouble. Listen to what He promises you and me and all of us who believe in Him. Isaiah 54, verses 16 and 17. Let's read it aloud together. See, it is I who created the blacksmith, who fans the coals into flame and forges a weapon fit for its work. And it is I who have created the destroyer to work havoc. No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. You and I know that the Bible says that a soft answer turneth away wrath. And sometimes it's very hard for us as Christians to have a soft answer. There are times that we would rather come back and defend ourselves, but Jesus says, no, 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 you don't need to defend yourself. I will vindicate you. If we will stand for right, though the heavens fall, if we will stand to vindicate the character of Jesus in our life, then Jesus will stand to vindicate us. It's one of your pastor's struggles to always try and cover himself. There's just enough humanity within him that he desires to make certain that all of his tracks are covered, all the bases are covered, so you can't get to him. Have you ever experienced that in your life? Always wanting to make certain that if I say something, I can defend what I said, when I said it, to whom I said it, under what circumstances, and so on. Always trying to protect what I have often considered to be number one. But Jesus says, if you'll just stand for me in my spirit, doing what I've asked you to do, I then will defend you. I will vindicate your name. I will see that the arrows that others have shot toward you will turn and come back upon them. Folks, there's a promise for every one of us. We need not worry about defending our name. We need to stand in defense of His name that He might give to us His name in the end. Would you turn with me to the Old Testament and take a look at number 10. Our 10th text this morning is found in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. Ask Jordan if he would read that for us this morning. Number 10, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9 is found on page 332 in your church Bible. Joshua 1 and verse 9. Listen again to the promise.
Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Thank you, Jordy. Some of us at times feel that we have gone places and been in places that God's Spirit cannot go. I'd like to suggest from what Jordy read this morning to us that God will never leave us nor forsake us. I would like to suggest, however, that we might leave Him and forsake Him. But even in those places of questionable amusement, even in those places that sometimes we find ourselves walking, knowing we should not be there, I'm suggesting that what the Bible says, you still are kept alive by the power of the presence of God. What I am saying, that in God you live, you move, and you have your being, that even though we are in defiance against God, in open sin, God still keeps us alive because He is trying to redeem us that we might come back and understand what real living is all about. God does not forsake us, even when we forsake Him. Do you hear me this morning? Do you hear God speaking? Be of good courage. Be strong and courageous. Be not terrified and do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And folks, there are some times that our feet carry us in paths. Even when we intend to do that which is good and right, we discover that we've made missteps along the way. Thank God that He never leaves us nor forsakes us, that He can still give us a path for our feet when we discover we've gone astray. Turn with me to Acts, a New Testament text to close with this morning. The book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 6 through 11, found on page 1691. 1691. Verse 6, beginning together as a congregation, let's read this statement of promise given to you and me by two angelic beings that we often picture in the story. Starting with Acts 1, verse 6, reading together. So when they met together, they asked Him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by His own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After He said this, He was taken up and a cloud hid Him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as He was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen Him go into heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus said. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. May I suggest this morning that God's word is true? And may I share with you today that all of His promises will be fulfilled? His promises in your life and mine this morning are being fulfilled, but one day you and I are looking forward to another fulfillment of a prophecy when Jesus will come in the clouds of heaven, when He will take us home from this old earth. I'm looking forward to that day, folks, aren't you? Until then, I pray that you will hold on to those promises that God is with you even unto the end of this world.
You have been listening to Pastor Willard Santee, American Cassette Ministries Associate Speaker. International Copyright 1992, American Cassette Ministries. All rights reserved. Christian ethics prohibit duplication in any form. Thank you for requesting American Cassette Ministries cassettes. We're helping prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ.